This country's national politics may be divided, but state government is often different. In recent months on Morning Edition, we've been visiting states where politicians have to work across party lines, including Kansas. That state voted twice for President Bush and for his party in every presidential election for decades. Both U.S. senators and most members of Congress are Republican, but the governor is not. NPR senior correspondent Juan Williams reports on Democrat Kathleen Sebelius.
Governor Sebelius is bridging the blue-red divide by making education her signature issue. In a state where 46% of voters are Republican, nearly double the percentage of Democrats, she campaigned as the education candidate. And as governor, she's focused heavily on raising school spending. Last week, she spoke at a convention of 750 administrators and teachers in Wichita.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America.
Governor Sebelius promised to stand up for bigger school budgets against fiscally conservative Republicans who dominate the state House and state Senate.
We're going to keep challenging the legislators in Topeka, working within that system to come up with the resources you need.
There's no division among the educators about the governor. They view her as an ally. Mandy Rohr is a high school teacher in Derby, a suburb of Wichita.
She sticks to her principles and is a strong supporter of public education in the state of Kansas.
Dennis Burke is superintendent of schools in Baxter Springs, a small town in southeast Kansas.
She brings some pretty good charisma to the position. She's willing to listen to other groups and to form a coalition regardless of party lines.
Nationally, education has become the key issue for governors reaching across the red-blue divide. In the red state of Virginia, Democratic Governor Mark Warner raised taxes to increase school spending and is urging national reform of high school education, a goal Governor Sebelius has embraced for Kansas, as she told the educators.
We really have a chance here in Kansas to get it right. We have a great platform to build on. So leading high school reform, becoming a cutting-edge state, is a challenge that I think we are ready to embrace and absorb.
The governor is happy to point out to reporters and voters that the Republicans are playing hardball politics instead of building bridges that might lead to a better state government.
There has been very little interest or effort in any kind of bipartisan dialogue. Very little interest in seeking viewpoints from the minority party or in working with me. A lot of their constituents who I hear from on a regular basis, business owners, parents, taxpayers, have higher expectations of the legislature than the work product they're seeing.
But for many voters, the divide between Democrats and Republicans in Kansas has more to do with culture than budgets or politics. Kansans just voted overwhelmingly to ban same-sex marriage. The State Board of Education has scheduled hearings in May on the teaching of evolution. These cultural issues would seem to make it impossible for a Democrat like Governor Sebelius to get into power. But the culture wars have also divided Republicans in the state. Thomas Frank is the author of What's the Matter with Kansas?, a bestseller that's critical of the state Republican Party.
So you have the two factions. You have the traditional moderate Republicans, and you have the conservative Republicans, who tend to be more blue-collar, tend to be focused strictly on the social issues, tend to be evangelical Protestants, this kind of thing. These two factions, they hate each other.
Steve Kraske, a political correspondent for the Kansas City Star and talk show host on NPR member station KCUR, agrees.
The Republican Party in Kansas is cleanly split into two different parties. We are a three-party state for all practical purposes, the conservative Republicans, the moderate Republicans, and then the Democratic Party. And it's that split that has given this state a Democratic governor.
Secretary of State Ron Thornburg, a Republican, wants to change that in 2006 and is considering running against her. He spoke in his office in Topeka while a sudden spring hailstorm rattled the roof.
The reason she's in office, though, is that the Republican Party continues to fight among itself. If the Republican Party doesn't get its act together, we will, quite frankly, continue to elect Democrats.
And that's what Sebelius represents.
That's exactly how she got into office last time, and I think that's her greatest hope for 2006.
The man who lost to Governor Sebelius last time around, Tim Schallenberger, is the new head of the state Republican Party. Though he declines to run again, he has vowed to help oust the governor.
I think that her success is dependent on her being able to convince the voters of Kansas that she's really more like a Republican than she has been.
The governor does not want to argue about culture wars with Republicans. She creates common political ground by crafting her image as a governor above politics. Even when she vetoed a bill tightening restrictions on abortion clinics, she refused to directly confront the issue. Instead, she said the proposed changes were inconsistent with regulations on all other health clinics. In an interview, she didn't want to talk about Kansas culture wars either. She presents herself as a Kansas mom of two boys who cares about kids, health care, especially for seniors, and keeping people safe.
They want the elected leaders to share their values and visions and have experiences that are more like theirs than different. So I'm a mom, I'm a neighborhood worker, and that, I think, helped me tell a story about why I could be an effective governor, and Kansans felt that that was a good choice.
In fact, at a cattle auction in Overbrook, a dusty town outside Topeka with a population of less than 1,000 people, some cattlemen, ranchers, and cowboys had a positive view on the governor. They're an overwhelmingly Republican bunch, but they like the Democrat. Here's David Bosworth, who crossed party lines to vote for Governor Sebelius.
Even though I'm Republican, I still think you should vote for the right, for the best person, regardless of what their party is.
Right.
You know, it seems like a lot of your elected people get in there, and they favor the people that help getting them elected. You know, the big money people. And I haven't really thought that she's played that game.
But some of those Republican cowboys are not charmed by Governor Sebelius.
Hey, I think they need Doc D, Rob. He didn't vote for Sebelius neither, I guarantee. He didn't vote for Sebelius neither, did you?
That's Ron Nielsen, who owns 150 acres of Kansas prairie and handles 350 head of cattle. He's clear on why he opposes Governor Sebelius.
Moral issues is the main reason. You know, I'm, like I said, I don't believe in abortion. I don't believe in gay marriages. You know, never believed in killing babies and never will.
But enough Kansans support Governor Sebelius, despite disagreements on cultural issues, to make her tough to beat in 2006. Democrats and Republicans concede privately that her approval ratings are above a robust 60%. But Governor Sebelius could be vulnerable if Republicans rally around a candidate who can appeal across party lines. That's what happened to her dad, John Gilligan, in the 1970s in Ohio. Her father was a one-term governor who was defeated in his quest for a second term by an opponent who labeled him too liberal for the state. Juan Williams, NPR News.